One of those services doing great work in the community, but on the other hand, it's very unfortunate and very sad that they have to exist at all. And that's the folks at the Elder Abuse Hotline. And Christine Maddie joins us from there at the moment. Good morning, Christine. I guess you guys deal with a lot of very sad things on a day-to-day basis when we talk elder abuse. What are some of the more common forms of elder abuse that we see, that you guys see and hear from on a day-to-day?
Oh, hi, Mike. Thanks for having me on again. Just to let you know, probably the most common abuse type we hear about is psychological abuse. It generally underpins financial neglect, physical or sexual abuse also. So that could be someone, you know, intimidating someone. It could be humiliating someone or threatening someone. One very common scenario would be an adult child saying to a parent that if you don't give me money, I won't let you see the grandkids. So you can see that the psychological abuse is allowing the financial abuse to occur. So they're very common.
Yeah, that's very sad when you sort of hear of stories like that, and obviously they feel pressured into handing over money or handing over whatever it may be, and then having access to their kids. What about in terms of institutions, things that may be happening in aged care? Is there a lot happening in that space? You would generally think that folks would be in a more safe environment there.
Yeah, I suppose, there might be that thought that, and I suppose abuse can happen anywhere. Where we work as the helpline is actually people in the community. So if you look at any residential aged care facility, there are reportable assaults and mandatory reporting. However, if you live in the community, just as you and I do, it really takes someone that knows the older person that things aren't quite right or they suspect something's not quite right to actually put their hand up and say, we need to get some help. So that's when we get those sorts of calls. So in a facility, as in anywhere else, all those abuse types that I mentioned before can occur.
Do you find that the folks that ring you on behalf of an elderly person, that they're sort of in a desperate state, as almost that this is a last resort type of thing? They're like coming to the situation late or generally fairly early on?
We kind of hear all stages, so we sometimes are the first port of call. We might even be before anything's actually happened, but someone thinks that, you know, there's been problems in the past that may not have been, you know, a form of elder abuse per se, but it could be a brother or sister talking about maybe another brother or sister who's now been appointed power of attorney, say, for mum or dad, and they've had problems managing their own money in the past, and now they're worried that if they're going to be looking after mum and dad's money, what might happen. So we could actually hear, very early on, we could get sort of midway through, or we could get that, last, unfortunately, things are at crisis point and we need to get some help.
I'm not sure what your numbers are, Christine, and you can let us know in a moment, but it was reported through the health department, obviously this is the aged care side of things, that in the last financial year, over 2,850 reported assaults of elders, and also including 348 allegations of unlawful sexual conduct. I just cannot get my head around that at all.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard to fathom, and I suppose the difference is reportable assaults are within aged care facilities, physical and sexual assault. So any abuse that occurs is something that can be, mentioned to somebody within the facility. So if someone has an older family member or friend in residential aged care, certainly speaking to that older person and getting a gauge on how they feel and what's happened, supporting them if they can to actually then speak to management would be a really great first step, and seeing how you get on. There's obviously, for community members, the ability to call the Aged Care Complaints Commissioner as well. And if they're not sure, they can call us, because we can certainly make referrals to those places I've just mentioned.
Christine, how many calls on a day-to-day basis would you and your team handle?
We approximate like 60 calls a week. So we're probably getting 10 to 12 calls per day, and they vary from, people a bit concerned and planning ahead, maybe not quite sure if that's the right person that they've appointed in some role, to, as I said, that crisis point. So things are really turned, family dysfunction, where do we go next? And in that sort of dire straits situation.
Christine, as I said at the opening, it's a shame that you have to exist at all. You and your team do a fantastic job. And we have some information on our webpage at 2NURFM.com and the morning show page. So for folks who may have got some interest in that and may be of use to them, they can follow the links and get in contact with you and your team. Thanks for sharing your time again.
Great. Thank you so much, Mark. And if anyone has any questions, they can call us on 1800 628 221.
Thank you, Christine. We've got the details at 2NURFM.com of the Elder Abuse Hotline.